Hey there, Ryan here from Focus on the Beer. We had a little bit of a connection issue at the beginning of this episode, so while we've pieced it together as best as possible, you may notice a little choppiness or awkward silences. Just give us some slack. These Zoom recordings are always tough to sort of tell when people are talking or when they've dropped out of the conversation altogether. Anyways, crack open a beer. Here's our latest episode with Weldworks Brewing. Cheers. So, thanks for being on our show. I really want to sort of first touch on some of the 2020 highlights that Weldworks went through. I know you guys sent out a little bit of a press release with a bunch of different things that you guys have gone through, which is pretty crazy considering that it was a COVID impacted year. Can you guys touch on, I know there's the big list of things that we'll put it out there, of things that you guys were able to do up there, but is there any one piece that means the most to each of you? And I don't really know if I introduced, we've got Arnie and Kristen, from Weldworks here.
My response was that, very early in the year, we made a decision as a company that we would do everything in our power to keep all of our employees paid and solvent throughout any shutdowns as long as we could do that. And we managed to successfully do that even through complete taproom shutdowns and production shutdowns and just not being able to come to the brewery at all a lot of the time. We managed to get all of our staff to stay on payroll, and that's a real personal point of pride for me.
Yeah, I was actually gonna say something similar along those lines too. Even in the midst of everything, keeping everyone on board, we also managed to create 7 new jobs in the company as well.
So basically, to recap what you were saying is you guys were able to keep everyone and then also hire 7 additional members for your team, which is pretty unheard of. I know there are a lot of breweries that were facing, you know, a lot of issues with their, you know, holding on to staff, and to actually hold on to everybody and basically crank up, you know, your numbers is sort of a testament to where you guys are at in the market and how well your business was, you know, figured out. So in a normal year, 168 beers being produced would have been, you know, a pretty darn busy year. And for COVID, that seems almost like ridiculous that you guys were able to push out that many beers and keep people busy the entire time. Can you speak to sort of the creative differences that this year posed?
So we've gotten used to, over the last few years, making a whole lot of different beers every year. I think starting in 2018, we've made well over 100 new beers every year. And you get to the point where you feel like there just aren't any more ideas. There's no more beers to be made. So we very early on in the year, started incorporating a lot more ideas from employees. And being that we have new employees coming on with all their great ideas, it's actually been a huge help to get more input from more areas and come up with crazy ideas and things to brew. And some of our most successful beers that we've brewed in the last year have been ideas from people, say, in the tap room or in the sales field or people working in packaging. And it's been really cool kind of working through all the new aspects of where to get these ideas from.
Do you guys kind of feel that at a certain point you're going to have to go to like a greatest hits sort of year where it's just going to be maybe there's not new beers, but just a remix of things that you've done in the past that everybody loved?
Yeah, so I don't think we'll ever stop bringing on new beers, and even if we slowed down, it would still be...
I think we lost you again there.
We're back again.
Yes. Yep. So you said you would still create new beers, but then you cut out.
Yes. Even if we slowed way down on the frequency of new beers, we would still be making them at an excessive rate. And we definitely have customers that get burned out from all the new beers. So in the last several months, we've started transitioning more to larger batches of fewer SKUs so that we can. Can you hear us?
Larger batches of fewer SKUs was the last thing we heard.
Okay, yeah, so that allows us to focus in on recipes that we've done before that we weren't necessarily 100% happy with, because every time we brew something, we think of a way that it could be better the next time. So by not doing hundreds of new beers in the year, maybe doing half as many new beers, we can really fine tune what we're doing with each of those recipes. We can bring them back and make them even better than they were the previous time. And that really excites us even more than sometimes coming up with a brand new idea where we don't know what we're going to get. But now we can really get the exact beer that we want.
Great. Yeah, I know as a home brewer myself, it's always, I'm my own worst critic. You know, this recipe could be tweaked this way and that way. So definitely fun to see professional brewers riff on that same sort of issue.
Yeah, I think as so many of us are professional brewers, most of us are also still home brewers too. So it's kind of a fun world to live in.
Arnie, if you were to pick the hardest ingredient to use that you've added to beer, that's a non-traditional beer ingredient, what would you say in this last year the hardest ingredient has been to use?
It was quite difficult to get several thousand pounds of Noosa yogurt into a bright tank to make a mango lassi beer. We ended up with about a dozen people spooning yogurt into a drum while we pumped it out with a diaphragm pump into the bright tank. And that whole process was incredibly difficult. And I never want to do it again. As much as I liked that beer, I hope not to be scooping yogurt into bright tanks again.
That was a great beer.
I think we had 1,200 quarts of it. But
something like that, yeah.
It was fun.
And they couldn't give you anything but the little mini cups? Or
No, I was trying to buy full drums from them, and the best they could do was 20-ounce cups where we had to open the lid and pull off the foil and spatula it out.
That's a lot of man hours to do that.
Yeah, it was worth it, though. I mean, who else can say they've done something like that? So totally worth it.
Right. I was just looking at some of the cans that got dropped off here. Things like 3,000 pounds of blueberry puree, 5,000 pounds of watermelon juice. I mean, these are some massive amounts of adjuncts and additives, added fruit that you're adding that, you know, it's not just a small little homebrew batch.
Just a couple tons.
One of the things that I saw that you guys got this year was the addition of a centrifuge to your system, which is pretty big.
Yes,
as an investment wise, but also for the quality of your beer.
Yeah, we had that on our wish list for a couple of years, and we finally were able to make it happen, and it has been an amazing piece of equipment.
Were there any other big capital improvements that happened in 2020 aside from the centrifuge?
That's really the biggest one. We got a couple of tanks here and there, things like that. But the centrifuge is really where we saved all of our pennies up to be able to execute it. And we had planned on a rough startup, because sometimes with something like that, you could have a batch that comes out way too clear or way too turbid or too much oxygen gets in and you end up having to dump it. But we had a group of operators that we put onto it as our first trainees, and they just knocked it out of the park. We immediately started getting fantastic yields and didn't have any problems with keeping our hazies turbid even after removing all the stuff that'll settle out in a can for a normal uncentrifuged beer. So couldn't be any happier with what we got.
So you are throwing the hazies through the centrifuge as well?
Yep. Yeah, that was one of the primary reasons that we wanted to get it, was for hazies specifically, because normally you have thousands of pounds of hops and yeast sitting at the bottom of the tank, and you just have to dump all the beer that's in there with it. But having the centrifuge, we can actually get the beer that's been soaking in those hops and sitting at the bottom of the tank. And that's some of the best tasting beer in there. So now we can separate that out and get far, far better yields and a better product in the end.
The definition of fresh squeezed.
Exactly.
So let's see. Man, that centrifuge, those are great. I know when Bristol got theirs down here, their beer quality just almost, I felt like it skyrocketed because it took so much of the little things that you didn't realize were affecting the beer flavor out, and just making it just such a clean beer.
Yeah, it's really nice for me when I pull a can out of my fridge at home. I know if it's got our name on it, I can pour the whole thing into my glass. I don't have to stop and dump the last ounce down the drain because it's not going to be yeast and sludge at the bottom. It's beer the whole way.
I actually just noticed that I just finished off the can of the Orange Glad 2020 is ending double IPA. And with the amount of different things in that beer and being a hazy, I half expected the last little bit. I sort of held off for a second. And as soon as you were talking about that, I poured the rest in my glass, and it's like, it's as if it was the first pour out of the can, which is pretty incredible, actually.
Yeah, it's definitely a good feeling to have beer that you can be proud of when people are pouring it in their glass.
But it just keeps consistency for the pour, because I've had a lot of hazies where you pour the first, you know, third of the can, and it's almost clear, and then you get to the bottom part, and it's like mud almost. And there's that sort of stratification in the beer in each can itself, and to have that where it's just a little bit cleaner of a beer and there's no difference between the top and the bottom. It's great.
Gone are my days of having to roll the can on its side before opening to redistribute everything.
We also noticed immediate improvements with the quality of bitterness as well. Since you don't have the hop material floating around in the beer, you're not tasting vegetation. You're actually tasting what's dissolved in the beer and meant to be there. So you don't get that harsh green bitterness that sometimes will age out and sometimes won't. You get the intended bitterness right from the start.
So are you finding that beers are like better sooner? Like there's less of that like ramp up time? Like I know a lot of times with a lot of these, you know, triple dry hopped type beers where there's a lot of hop material in it, they can taste green for a couple weeks before they sort of get into that sweet spot.
Yeah, we've noticed that just sending it through the centrifuge takes at least a week off of that time before it's releasable, before it no longer tastes green. So it's been a pretty good benefit just for tank time, where we don't have to sit on a beer waiting for the greenness to go away before we can package it now.
That's pretty awesome that you can, you know, and that helps get beers out the door faster too.
Exactly.
So you guys, before we lost video anyway, we're sitting in the barrel room. What sort of expansion's gone on in your barrel program during the year?
So we probably have about 100 more barrels at the end of 2020 than we did at the beginning of 2020. And those are almost exclusively Imperial Stouts, a lot of Medianoche, a lot of collaborations. But we also have a little barley wine floating around too. The biggest benefit to this new barrel room is that we're not jamming 400 barrels into one tiny room where you can't even walk between them and get to sample them. Like you have to pull out 32 barrels to get to the one that you want. Now we have full access to get to whatever we want, whenever we want. And it's really been incredible being able to go through and just pull nails on any barrel in the entire building and taste down through whatever you like to create a blend for the next batch.
Arnie, where is that room in regards to like the tasting room?
It's directly east from our main facility. There's a long, skinny building north to south that is on the opposite side of that little alleyway.
Gotcha. So I know there was like a school in there at one point. Is that still there, or have you guys taken over the entire spot?
So the school is still there. They are on the southeast corner of the lot, and they are future brewery employees as far as we're concerned. We like having them around.
That's great. It's great that you have that much space to be able to work with and not feel as cramped anymore.
Well, we still feel pretty cramped, actually, but it was much needed space.
Yeah, give us an inch and we'll take a mile. We know how to fill up storage.
I think that's
space.
The story for every brewery. You know, you fill out whatever you have, and then whatever you don't have, you wish you had, and as soon as you have it, it's gone.
They call it the goldfish principle, right? Expand to fit your space.
Yeah.
So I guess we gotta sort of talk about the elephant in the room, which Kristen might be able to talk about a little more, is the Colorado Springs location, which I feel like if you're on any of the forums or the groups on Facebook for Colorado Springs Beer, there's at least one or two posts a month where someone has driven by the location and taken a picture and been like, nothing's happening, I'm mad, blah, blah, blah. can you guys talk a little bit more about how this, you know, this last year has sort of affected, you know, future plans and opening up a tap room down here in Colorado Springs?
Yeah, I mean, it was very unexpected how drawn out our timeline became, but a pandemic was also very unexpected as well. You know, it was the typical growing pains, working with the new city and permitting, and then, you know, COVID hit and everything kind of stalled for everyone everywhere. Things were obviously processing a lot more slowly on their end, and we were going through all of our own hurdles up here. But about I think it was October or maybe November, actually, we finally did get all of our permitting in place. We got the green light. We were good to go. We just haven't jumped in on the building side quite yet because we're still going through a lot of expansions and growing pains up here. And with the holidays, throughout the whole year, we just didn't feel quite the push for the now, because everything was delayed. So we leaned into it. And it was good for us to kind of wait and watch and see how the year was progressing. But we're pretty much ready to roll. We're meeting with contractors. We're meeting with builders. We should be starting to see some action on that side of town pretty soon.
That's awesome to hear. I know those looky loos on Facebook will definitely be happy to hear that.
Yeah, we don't know how long the build out will take. We've never built a building from scratch, so it'll be an interesting project. But yeah, we're really excited.
Has that part of the sort of the process changed your plans for the building and for the space itself? Because I know the original plans were sort of to sort of build things around that existing structure that was there. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so actually I guess I shouldn't say from scratch, because there is still that core building that is going to remain, that we are building around that. But our plans still remain. It's still going to be very outdoor centric. Obviously, anyone who's driven by knows that it's not exactly the largest space. So we're going to play into that that outdoor model a lot. And I think last time we spoke, I had mentioned that we do have that adjacent parking lot that we're leasing out, which will be good, because I know everyone's very concerned about the parking aspect as well. But yeah, we're still a go for everything. And, you know, if depending on, hopefully not, but how things are playing out pandemic wise, we're at least well suited for a good outdoor space, which will just be great anyway, because the views in that location are just phenomenal.
Yeah, that's a great way to use that space. And especially if there's, you know, tail end of COVID stuff left over, it'll allow you to still, you know, serve beers and not have to worry about jamming 1,000 people inside.
Exactly. Yeah. Winter will prove a little challenging, but we're working on it.
Yeah. It's always challenging, but you never know if it's actually going to be winter here or not. I feel like some winters we have a you know, a crazy winter, and then other times it's 90 degrees in January.
Right. Well, and we learned quite a few lessons from this year as well with having to go for an outdoor model for what has been the majority of winter now. So we picked up a few tricks to make the outdoor space a little bit more comfortable. So I'm sure that'll translate well down there as well.
Yeah, how have restrictions been handled up there in Weld County? Have you guys been restricted to only like to-go stuff for a long time?
Yeah, so we've been able to operate with at least the outdoors being open pretty much since everything reopened back this summer. We had shut down indoor here and there. We've fluctuated between the 25% capacity and 50% capacity. We've been real strict with ourselves to follow every guideline put forth, particularly by the state. And our staff has been super careful, but you know, like I was saying, we pivoted. So we got some nice big tents put up outside. We got some turf and a bunch of new furniture, crazy industrial heaters. Yeah, we've kind of just been rolling with the flow and scooping up any resources that we can to keep people, you know, able to come in, but still feel super comfortable and safe.
Yeah, I think that's the key element for most places that say they've weathered well is that they've been able to pivot their outdoor areas to sort of recreate what you had indoors with sort of that block party type feel. So we'll look forward to having that down here in Colorado Springs.
Yeah,
too.
yeah, absolutely. Our crews learned how to go with the flow pretty well.
Josh, you have it?
Yep. So I know you had to cancel the Weldworks Invitational last year. Is there hope that maybe that can make a comeback in 2021, maybe still leaving it later in the fall, or is that seeming like a healthy scratch at this point until we know where the pandemic's at?
Yeah, you know, we're really keeping eyes on it. Obviously, our normal June date is for sure out. And we have been talking with the venue over the DoubleTree just so that we know what options are. But it's still so early in the game. We're not entirely sure which direction this year is going to take, really. And one thing that we're absolutely dedicated to is not sacrificing the quality of an experience. While we would love to be able to get that train rolling again, if this is a situation where the event is not just going to, it just isn't going to be, you know, the Weldworks Invitational that we are, you know, so proud to host every year and get so excited about, that if the experience is just at all compromised, then we're willing to push it off for another year. But we're definitely hopeful. You know, we're kind of eyeing some dates later in the fall, like you said, and we'll see what the lay of the land looks like with all events and festivals and take some cues from there.
Yeah, well, it's definitely one of our favorites, and we look forward to its return whenever that is.
Oh, we do too.
So, speaking of 2021, how do you come off a year where you've been so productive, sort of pivoting and changing how everything goes as things sort of ramp back down to normal? Is there any, do you just sit back for a second and go, all right, let's take a deep breath here and make sure that things are working the right way? Or do you just keep forging ahead and cranking out, you know, tons of beers and not stopping?
There's definitely a little bit of let's take a breather for a minute and collect ourselves, but it's really kind of built into our culture that we're always pushing and striving for the next thing, whether it's a creative project or a tap room in the Springs or a new barrel room or whatever. We always have something that we're kind of pushing toward, and it seems the people who really like working at Weldworks most are the ones who are built that way. They're just never satisfied with the status quo. So we're kind of starting off the year with a lot of proceduralizing and just making sure we can sustain where we've gotten to at this point. And then don't know what it is yet, but we're just going to jump right into the next thing when it's time.
Are there any fun beers on the horizon that you are most excited about?
The ones that I get excited about are when we bring back the employee designed classics, honestly. I really love that we've been able to keep a tank rotating of just classic style beers that the employees themselves have made all the recipes for. And in my opinion, they've been some of the best beers we've made over the last year or so. That being said, it's a lot of fun to put 8 drums of banana puree into something. We've got one coming out soon that we made using soft serve ice cream powder that we had to figure out how to incorporate into the bright tank. So it's a banana split, or like a sundae. And like it's just really cool seeing all the things that people come up with and how we can just execute the weirdest stuff in the world and make it still taste good.
I think that's what sets you guys apart, though, is that you're able to do the crazy weird stuff where you're putting banana puree and soft serve ice cream into beers, but you're also, you know, pumping out, I think your Hefeweizen is one of my favorite Hefeweizens, and I'm not a drinker of Hefeweizen. So I'll go to a bar sometimes and I'll see that on tap and they'll be like, yeah, we got Weldworks, but it's just their Hefeweizen. It's like, oh my gosh, yes. Let me drink that. And I think that's, you know, there's a lot of breweries out there that sort of do only gimmicky things. And when that's, you know, when you're a one trick pony, it's, you know, it's fun for a while, but to actually show that your brewers have incredible skill and they're able to put out these classic styles that stack up with the best beers in the world, allows you, I think it gives you a little bit more leeway to go crazy once in a while.
Yeah, it definitely helps with the street cred when you can have a classic Pilsner next to your favorite egg-based beer.
Egg-based beer. Ooh, yum.
Yeah, I'm going to need some more information on this egg-based beer.
Oh, it's been a while since we did that one. That was our eggnog barley wine that we made a few years ago that we put hundreds of egg yolks into.
Oh, wow. I remember distinctly the last GABF you guys had a taco sauce beer, I think it was, that I thought was really good. I was telling people to make it a point to try that one.
Yeah, it was our taco goza. And it's funny, I actually just looked over here in the barrel room and saw a can of our spaghetti goza that was our GABF beer the year prior.
Yeah.
I remember Neil was handing out pieces of pizza with samples of that. And it was the weirdest experience I think I've ever had at GABF.
Yep, we did taquitos with the taco beer. Try to have fun.
You know,
with it.
I think that's the only way you can do it is if you're not having fun, then you know everyone else can't have fun while they're drinking your beer.
Exactly.
So another thing that's happened this last year that I've noticed, your can art has changed. And you've really sort of, you've got these really dynamic can labels now. Can you speak a little bit about the process of, you know, pretty much changing up your brand look and identity as you've put out all these different beers?
Yeah, so our designer, Rachel from Freeline, she's been a good friend of all of ours since before even the very beginning. And we're lucky enough to use her as our graphic designer. So we have a really cool relationship with her just because, you know, we have that friendship base already. So it's super fun to work with her. But yeah, we knew that a refresh was coming. And Jake, who is our CMO, he actually transitioned. He was doing kind of sales and marketing about a year and a half ago now. And we just had a little bit of room to grow where he was able to transition to focus solely on marketing, which was just huge for us. And so, you know, after getting his feet wet and living in that marketing space for a while, he's just been doing some really awesome things, and brand refresh has definitely been one of them. So yeah, him and Rachel just got together and chatted out new ideas, and she's just been throwing amazing things our way ever since.
I think it's. I mean, I come from a fine art background. I went to college for oil painting, which a lot of people don't even realize. So I love seeing just really well done art on cans, and I think you guys have. She's been able to capture that mix from pop art all the way over to just sort of really abstracty type of designs, which works great for beer because, you know, it's just beer, but a lot of people buy beer because of the label, like just like people do with wine. So I think it's been a super strong and very successful rebrand of sorts.
Yeah, I mean, it blows my mind every day that she's able to do, you know, 168 of these a year. Where that creativity comes from is just mind-blowing. But it's been really cool seeing the transition. And it's made for a bit more of a cohesive brand identity. Because you're right, yeah, people they're buying off labels and making ours have a little bit more identifiable look to them for sure helps.
Yeah, I'm just though I just opened up this the watermelon cotton candy sour here. it's pretty ridiculous how cotton candy it is.
I kind of hate myself for liking that beer so much.
I feel the same way. I looked at the can. I was like, oh, I don't know about this. It looks like it's really sugary. Cotton candy, milk sugar, and watermelon juice. And then I pop it open. I'm like, oh my goodness, this is incredible. And like you were talking about with the mango lassi beer, you know, that's sometimes with these beers where you put crazy ingredients in, you almost sort of wish in the back of your mind that, okay, maybe this won't be as popular and we don't have to do it again. But
right.
So, Josh, you got anything else?
No, I think I've asked my questions. You know, I'm looking forward to what you guys are going to do with the location in the Springs, same as everyone else down here. We're definitely excited to have you guys joining the Springs beer community. Yeah, looking forward to seeing you all out when things get back to normal-ish.
We are very much looking forward to that, too.
I guess I have one last question for you, and it's more just for you two personally. If you were to drink a beer that's not Weldworks, and I don't know how often you guys get to do that, what's your like go-to beer?
But I have a feeling we might say the same one. But for me, it's definitely Odell IPA. Okay.
And your estimate was correct. It's the exact same beer for me. The classic straight up Odell IPA just cannot be beat.
Yeah,
that's the one with the elephant on the label, right? Yep. Yeah, yep. It's just classic. It's good. I know the feeling. I started college in Fort Collins, so I have a certain affinity for the at least the old flag up there. And Odell, man, they make just good stuff.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt that they're some of the best people in the industry too. They're a wonderful company and they're wonderful people up there. So it even feels that much better drinking a fantastic beer coming from them.
Definitely.
Well, guys, thank you so much for joining us. Sorry about the hiccups earlier. I'm glad we were able to get that sorted out. Basically, I'm going to sort of turn it over to you if there's anything you want to say to people listening. We'll let you close it out.
Jeez.
Drink weird beer, drink classic beer.
I like that.
All right, I can't top that. So Arnie's got it.
Drink weird beer, drink classic beer. I like it. Thanks so much for joining us. Josh, thanks for spending the time to talk with these guys with me.
Always. Cheers to all of you.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you.